Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
The humanity and what we do to each other is leading to a lot of small shops, especially considering their future, because I've been told, and I'm sure you've heard by anyone in the retail business, that shoplifting is at epidemic proportions, and a lot of shops feel very hamstrung by GDPR, what CCTV, everyone has it now, but what you capture on CCTV often stays on CCTV because you can't show it because you might be endangering the rights of the shoplifter. Pat Towey is in Ballyhadrin, County Roscommon. How bad is shoplifting up there, Pat?
Joe, how are we doing?
Good.
Yeah, I agree with all your sentiments there. Unfortunately, shoplifting is terrible in all shops all over the country. And it doesn't matter what type of shop you have. So, Ballyhadrin, unfortunately, it's every bit as bad. Like, they will take anything. Nutella, red sauce, fairy liquid, Dalmio sauces, soup, noodles, toiletries, roll-on deodorants, toothbrushes, toothpaste, alcohol. Vodka is very popular, confectionery. Yeah. Christmas snacks. They'll drive in with their car and they'll have false number plates and they'll fill up and off they go and there's not tuppence you can do about it.
Well, surely there is. Pat, surely you have CCTV.
Joe, there's no fear of CCTV. There's no fear of any sanction because there is no
fear.
Sanctions. Yeah, there is no fear. So basically, if you catch somebody for the first time, they're entitled to what's called an adult caution.
Okay.
So you know, the guards will investigate, so you'll get your money back. But there's nothing stopping that guy from coming back in reoffending. He'll take a chance because it was easy to do it the first time. And I mean, there's a huge pressure on staff and shops. You know, we're awful lucky to have the excellent staff we have and we train them up as best we can. But, you know, the shop robber now is very, very cute and very intimidating. And he will do whatever he wants. Like, we had an incident last week where a woman came in with a school bag. She literally walked in the door. She put cooking oil, tomatoes, mushrooms, elite chocolate biscuits, two Mars bars, and a bottle of vodka into her bag, and she literally walked out the door. And we went out after her, and we took the stuff out of her bag, and we said, you know, you can't take this stuff. And she basically just looked at me as if I was from Mars, and she couldn't have cared less. 3 weeks before that, when the lads put out the newspapers for the returns to go back to Newspread, at 8 o'clock, there was a fella across the road in the estate watching and waiting for him to put out the papers. The employee had no sooner walked into the shop than your man legged it across the road from the housing estate, took the papers, and he burnt them for heat. Now, these people aren't, you know, these people don't look any different than you and me. But it's a culture, it's a way of life, and you'll get away with it. And they're getting away with it in every shop in the country. And it's at the demise of all the small shops.
And I know you've a Spar, and I know, but they are the backbone of the shop. Spar, Central, Londis, smaller super values. They are the back. They are the backbone of our shopping world. But come back to CCTV. Who can view? Can you if you capture a shoplifter on CCTV, and new staff are rostered on for the following morning? Can you show them that and say, beware of this shoplifter?
You have to be awfully careful because, unfortunately, the person that does it has more rights than you have. Everybody's image is kind of protected. So what you have to say, you have to describe the person that came in. We would do it. You know, I mean, it's an internal management thing. You would never show it to anybody else, but you just show it to the staff. But, I mean, a lot of people that are coming in, their faces are disguised. They have glasses. They have caps. And you're trying to paint a picture of what they look like. You know, they're all 5'6". And they wear an earring or they have tattoos or whatever. You're kind of it's exceptionally difficult. I mean, for young staff, when you're trying to explain what shoplifters are, they're saying, Jesus, how do I take them on? We said, you don't take them on. What you do is you report to management when you see somebody stealing something. And then the management take it from there. But it's an exceptionally difficult situation.
And are you covered? Can I ask you? Are you covered by insurance? Because this is what shop law, the insurance in the Brown Thomas or whatever else are, and so the insurance will cover all of this. Pennies. Does insurance cover this?
Years ago, I was broken into, Joe, and a guy came in. Well, not a guy. Three or four guys came in, and they took a substantial amount of cigarettes and cash from the shop.
Yeah.
And I was insured with a prominent insurance company. When the assessor came out to examine the facts, he basically implicated that I was part of the robbery. So you can imagine trying to claim off an insurance company for somebody walking in the door. You have no chance. It's in the small print. And yeah. I would imagine that there's no, you'll never get your money back.
Okay, 51551. What about the Gardaí, Pat?
But they're lovely fellas. We know them all. But unfortunately, they're doing their best. So the order, you know, there's just a whole change of culture in the Guards, Joe. Traditionally, you know, fellas knew people in the community and you did your best to work with whoever it was to find the culprit. Yeah. Nowadays, there are so many people coming into all the small towns. Like, it's so, so difficult. So you report the crime. The Guards can only do so much. Like, we're under the jurisdiction of Castle Reid. So Ballyhadreen Garda Station closed. So we have two guards that come when there are issues in the town. And, you know, we were used to having five fellas up at the station where you could go up and knock on the door, go in and say, have a conversation and say, look, this situation happened. Like, the guards are still doing their job, and they're doing a job in difficult circumstances. The law is difficult, and society has accepted the fact that it's okay to go in and rob somebody in the shop.
Have you ever had any of your shoplifters apprehended, prosecuted successfully?
No. Not one.
Not one?
No. So we have caught some people. We've got our money back, but we've never physically been able to get them up to court to say, stand up with a judge and say, I can confirm that this guy stole stuff in my shop.
And a shoplifter...
It is our policy to do it, but it, you just don't get that, and it could take you 2 years or 3 years to do it.
Has shoplifting got worse?
Absolutely. This was the worst Christmas ever for shoplifting. And I don't know why, but it was the worst. And I mean, you're constantly on tenterhooks watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I work long hours, you know. I open my shop at 6:30 in the morning, and every retailer in the country and every manager in every shop is doing the same thing. So I'm not looking for sympathy on it. But the fact of the matter is that it does affect your emotional and physical well-being, because you are working hard and you're doing your best to stay ahead of all the issues that are hitting you with costs and different things. But it's exceptionally difficult. It is really is a huge problem.
If you took a still of somebody, that person walking out with the school bag with the vodka and everything else in between, if you took a photograph and put it up and said, this person is no longer welcome in my shop, what would happen?
Well, you can't do it. The long and the short of it is he could prosecute you for defamation of character.
Yeah, but that person was robbing you blind.
I know that. And I understand what you're saying, but my understanding is that you can't physically put a photograph up of somebody in your shop in a public place.
What's the experience of what? Have you spoken to other shopkeepers?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a huge problem in the town. And the worst thing about it is all down to data. You can't share somebody's image with somebody else. But the people that are stealing in my shop are stealing super value.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They're the same people.
But you can't give your image of that person robbing you blind to super value.
No, you can't. And he can't give it to me either.
And is there a demographic male? You mentioned men are male, female, ages. Do they do it alone? Are they in groups, the shoplifters?
Look, there was no age profile. Look, we've had instances in the past where kids come in with their mothers and the mothers are walking around shopping and a kid could pick up items between 12 and 15 euros, go out to the car and eat them or go down to the bedroom and eat them. And the mother knows she didn't buy them. And then you have a conversation with the mother the next time she comes in and say, look, do you remember you're in the shop, you know, your child picked up some stuff that wasn't paid for? And the mother would nearly take the head of you. So you're going to lose her custom and you're going to be bad-mouthed about it. So there is no winners in it. And certainly the retailer is losing profit, he's losing margin, he's trying to put up with the hassle of it. It's a huge problem, Joe. I mean, we're trying to get CCTV into Ballyhadreen years ago to fight crime. But the bigger issue with that is there's nobody willing to take on the dash controller. So the county councils originally would take it on.
Yeah.
And then the county councils backed out with it. Then the guards backed out with it. Yet if there's a serious crime in this town or in any other town, the first place the guards come to is into every business to say, can I look at your CCTV? We're investigating the crime. I mean, shops have enough to be doing without trying to solve crime nationally. Like,
if they're trying to track somebody, they say, I want to see your CCTV in your garage to see that they call into your garage and drove on. And what about the petrol? Do you get many driveaways now?
Yeah, plenty. So that works two ways. They'll either fill up, come in with a card, a Revolut card or a Visa card, they tap it and it declines. So then you're caught. You're asking them for ID and they'll tell you something and they might tell you nothing and they'll tell you I'm passing through or I'm visiting a friend or something. Either way, you're knackered in that situation. Then the other thing is, they will drive in, and a lot of them have cars around 10 years old. There's multiple drivers on the cars.
Okay.
They change the number plates on the cars regularly. You report the crime, then the guards will say that reg number isn't related to that car. Then you're snookered, you're caught again.
Yeah, but the car, do you have ads at the minute? I heard one this morning saying we now have the insurance details and the reg numbers of every driver in the country, which we can look up in seconds. In a patrol car.
That might happen in Dublin, but it doesn't happen down the country, I can assure you that.
Okay, you sound very frustrated, Pat, and I wouldn't blame you. What about the argument, you know, these people are poor and they're starving?
Joe.
For a bottle of vodka.
As soon as the government wake up, my best customers are people that have never worked. They're people on long-term social welfare employment, or social welfare allowance.
Who are doing their best and don't rob.
But those people enjoy a great lifestyle. I mean, honest to God, the hard-working people and middle-income people in Ireland are knackered because they will never get ahead. And a lot of these people that are doing this, they're nice runners, have nice clothes, have nice cologne. I don't see anything wrong with them. But there obviously is so much money coming into their pockets, and there is no fear of being caught if you're robbed. If you go and rob, no one is going to tap you. No one is going to highlight you. You can't. Everything is in their favour to protect them. Yet the shopkeeper and everybody else that's trying to make a living, there's no recourse for, you know, to address this. It really is frustrating.
Yeah.
And I know that there's lots of societies trying to help. Like the Irish Petrol Retailers Association are doing the best to address it.
Yeah.
There's, you know, BWG, I'm delighted to have BWG as a business partner.
Yeah, they're the company.
It's a society problem and it's a Department of Justice problem. And there's too many people coming in and we cannot manage them, and even some of our local people. It has always been a way of life that they've never worked and that they've always were brought up to take or to dump rubbish over the ditch or whatever. They're happy in that level and it'll never change.
Okay, stay with us, Pat. But we're talking to Pat Towey. He's in Ballyhadrina, County Roscommon. And I would have thought, well, I'm almost sure that the capital of shoplifting is Dublin and is the big stores with the high-end goods, and I don't know how they cope. And then everyone that mentioned it to you, the next breath they mentioned about GDPR and it's the thief that has more rights than the person. And it is a person that's being robbed. I know they say, oh, these are big companies, insurance. Stay there, Pat. Martin, good afternoon. What's your back? Are you involved in the retail business, Martin?
No, I'm involved in the security business, but I'm very familiar with the retail sector.
Well, then, better. Yeah. Tell us what is there a shoplifting epidemic, as Pat Towey says?
Absolutely, 100%, definitely, no doubt about it. In the last probably 2 years, it's reached epidemic portions. It's totally out of control. I've seen it. What I've seen in the last 12 months, Joe, there's a massive demand for retail security guards now being advertised. It's gone way up. It's probably quadrupled, I would say, in the last 2 years, which is amazing.
Wow.
Now, even myself, I was shopping there recently in a local town, and I went into a convenience store about 3 o'clock of a Saturday afternoon, and two young lads walked out against me with a load of drink. Now, there's no way that they would have been served at the counter. It looked about 14, 15 max.
Okay.
And two customers followed me out and said, these guys just went straight out the door with the drinks. So now I've been in the business, I knew what to do. I followed them out, I kept my distance. I got the carriage, which was not a local car registration.
Okay.
And four guys in it and just drove off. So I went back in, gave the number, the registration to the manager, and I said, look, these are the guys, that's their number. That's all I could actually do.
No fear. No fear, as Pat told me.
No fear, because, Joe, the problem is these young guys know they're underage, they're juveniles, there'll be nothing done with them anyway. This is what they do. The bigger guys in the car, so they use the young lads to go in and do the lifting. This is what's happening.
And then people
crazy at the moment.
And what about CCTV, which is everywhere? Martin. What is the point of that if you can't use it?
Well, it's a deterrent job, but for some people it doesn't. It's not a problem. It's not a deterrent for some people. For some people it is. The problem is, Joe, is that shoplifting, unfortunately, now is seen as only petty crime, which is wrong. But it's a massive problem. It's a growing problem. And a lot of businesses are struggling and suffering. And it's very hard on staff as well to be dealing with this kind of thing. They're put in very difficult positions. And some, I know a lot of staff have been assaulted during the course of their duty, which is totally wrong. It's a very difficult industry now.
And Martin, as you say, you're in the security sector. You say demand for staff has, in some cases, quadrupled in the last for security staff. Can one security staff that you employ, one of your employees working in one shop, can he or she tell the employee in another shop, listen, have a look out for this photograph?
Yes. They have a network operating with radio.
Okay. Can you share photographs?
No, not photographs, but just a verbal description and that kind of thing over the radios. Yeah.
And does that work?
It does work to a point. It definitely works. It is a help, but it's not the total full solution to this massive problem. Like, it's a, as the last gentleman said there, it's a judicial system problem as well. You know, we don't have the Gardaí on the ground, and the laws themselves doesn't have to deal with it because obviously they're flooded with so much crime at the moment. It's a whole context of different issues spoiling out of control. There's a number of factors in this.
Well, tell me what the factors are.
Well, you know, I think we have a lot of new poverty in Ireland at the moment. I think that's a factor, definitely. Cost of living, I'd say, probably force people laughing down this road. And you've got gangs operating as well, where they go in, they pick stuff to, and specifically requested to get a leather jacket or whatever. There's a lot of that going on. That's always been there. That's been going on for years and years and years. But maybe, you know, just with social media, there's way more attention out to all these things. Maybe it was always happening, but I think it's at a new level, Joe, to be honest. New level.
Well, if shops are in danger of shutting down because of shoplifting...
Absolutely. Businesses are going to suffer. A lot of businesses will fold because of this, and a lot of staff are being put in difficult positions, you know, with assault and verbal abuse and all this.
Martin, what about these security tags? You know, do you see them in high-end fashion? You see them on high-end alcohol bottles or whiskey or whatever, you see these security tags that go beep, beep, beep. Are they any use?
Well, unfortunately, what I've seen of it, some people just still don't ignore us and they walk out the door with alarms flashing and keep going. Then a lot of people can counteract that by with bags with this tin foil inside. Yeah, so there's ways around it. These guys like knows what they're doing.
And apparently you can buy these security D-taggers. The D-taggers, you can buy them easily online.
Absolutely. So I mean, they're retail is fighting a losing battle in all this. It's a tough place to be at the moment, retail. I feel sorry for people at businesses because they're enduring a lot of hardship with theft.
And then then the only way is to put everything behind the counter again.
Which is not going to happen. In another country, in Spain, when people come into their store, they leave their bags at the entrance. They're not allowed to bring their bags through the stores because there's so much shoplifting in places in Spain. That's the thing they have there. Maybe something we should look at here as well. No bags permitted on the floor.
No bag. You go into a shop and you leave your shopping bag at the checkout.
Yes.
Wow.
Apparently, that happens in Spain, yeah.
Apparently it happens in the US too.
Yes.
So nobody... nobody can go into a shop. Okay, say I'm in Blanchardstown Shopping Centre. And I'm going to Brown Thomas, and I'll go through a number of different franchises.
Yes.
One more expensive than the other in terms of robbing. Does that mean if I go from Massimo into Ted Baker, I've got to leave my bag at the Ted Baker counter?
Well, you're on the same premises, the same building. No, you're going through different hills, obviously. No, that's a difficult one. Well, just going through a normal run-of-the-mill store.
But you're saying a single store, you should be told, leave your bag at a counter. Take your basket or your small trolley, if it's a small shop, and use that. And you think that would help?
Well, it's not going to solve the problem totally, but it certainly would be a help.
Because there's only so many cans of Bachelor's beans you can get under your jacket your skirt, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I think they go for much more valuable stuff than that these days, Joe, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. It sounds very frustrating, Martin.
It must be. It is for people. I've seen business people and all business people. It's really tough on them at the moment. Very hard for people like this. It's very unfair. Yeah.
And has GDPR rules made a big difference?
It has. It has, definitely. But all that information will still be available to the guards.
But are the guards, have they enough to be doing?
Yeah. No, absolutely. They have enough to be dealing with these days and dealing with, you know, this kind of stuff on top of everything else.
Okay, because you say, unfortunately, it's just seen as petty crime, but it's not going to be petty if shops go out of business.
No.
And jobs are lost.
That's true. Huge. Okay. Huge for the economy. Huge.
Okay, okay. Martin, thanks indeed. And Pat Towey up in Ballyhadreen in Roscommon, thank you as well, Pat, and kind regards. By the way, we won't be too far from Roscommon. We'll be in Leitrim this day week in the Landmark Hotel in beautiful, beautiful Carrick on Shannon. As I said yesterday, everyone is welcome. Lots of giveaways, and the total emphasis from beginning to end is on having a laugh. 0818 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Diane, good afternoon. Diane has contacted us. What happened, Diane?
Hi, Joe. So it was actually a couple of days ago. I was up in Dalkey, and it was my 11-year-old son spotted a large billboard advertisement in Dalkey Main Street.
Okay.
And the advert features a cartoon of a young girl butchering a lamb with the slogan, "They trust us, we butcher them." So it is by Go Vegan World. So I just want to stress, sort of first off, I suppose that I totally understand the need to raise awareness about the impact of meat consumption and the use of animal products and everything on the environment and on animal welfare. But I have to stress that I just think that it should be done with sensitivity, respect, especially when children will see the adverts.
Because it is, these are the biggest billboards available. They're known as, there's a 48 sheet and a 64 sheet. They are extraordinarily expensive to hire, by the way. There's one, I've seen a few of them now at this stage, so there's a few of them around. And the image is, they trust us, we butcher, and butcher is in blood red, them, and it's a young woman, like Goldilocks or whatever, and she has a lamb on a chopping board, and the lamb is fully intact, the head, and she is cutting the lamb, and the lamb's head looks like they're asleep, and then looking plaintively over the lamb being slaughtered or being chopped up is the sister or brother of that lamb, another little lamb up on the table. But that's the reality, isn't it, Diane?
It is.
Is it? I don't know. Are lambs killed that way? You put them up on a breadboard and you chop them up?
No, exactly. Well, so that's what I find. It's a cartoon image as well. And I find the use of the cartoon image and also of it being a young girl. And the girl looks very vulnerable. She looks as if she's being forced, like I say, cartoon, but it's a dark cartoon. And it was my 11-year-old son who spotted it, and I sort of felt that it is targeted towards children, with some form of messaging, sort of saying as if, you know, we're forcing our children to slaughter animals, which is inaccurate and it's aggressive and a little bit toxic, I would say.
And what's inaccurate about it?
Well, our children aren't butchering the animals. It's important that we educate our children on how animals are killed for our use. And I don't argue that at all. Mm-hmm. But I do find that a lot of this advertising from vegan organisations is very aggressive. And it's not done in a compassionate way, and it's not done in an educational or factual way. It is done in a way of being cruel, being aggressive and inappropriate. I mean, if you take the climate change movement as an example, they're going into schools and they're educating our children. And then our children are coming home to us. Like my kids can teach me a few things about climate change because that movement is inclusive.
So by the way, the advertising, I don't know what they do actually, but the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland says nothing to do with us. Okay. Sandra Higgins. Sandra, good afternoon. What is to
good
do
afternoon,
with that?
Joe.
Sandra, you're going to be totally glad that this has come up, because you're going to say that the world has gone mad in a handcart killing animals.
Well, yes, yeah. And okay. I think that this is a case of shoot the messenger. The fact is, Joe, that the vast majority of people care about other animals, care about them very deeply. Mm. But they are not vegan. And when we're not vegan, we harm and kill other animals. That's just the fact. So people are uncomfortable because our ads show a contradiction between their belief, which is that other animals matter, and their behaviour, which is, I'm going to use them anyway.
So what is the purpose of this ad? Is you want more people to go vegan?
Yeah, I want people to make the connection between, see, you go into a supermarket and you see, you know, dairy products, garden milks, yogurt, cheese, shrink-wrapped animal flesh. It's completely divorced from where it came from. And it came from an animal who shares our capacity to feel. So like us, they get too hot, they get too cold, they feel pain, they feel fear, they experience joy. Lambs, for instance, want nothing more than to stay by the safety of their mother and play with their young friends. And these are the lambs that we take out of the fields and slaughter for a product that we don't need for our health, that's violent to the animals, that causes zoonotic diseases.
So if the logical conclusion of all of this is that sheep and lambs, apart from petting zoos or whatever, they would all die out, cattle would die out. There'd be no one would have any interest. You couldn't. Who'd keep a cow in their back garden as a pet? All those animals would die out, wouldn't they?
They would, yeah. We'd stop breeding them for our use, so they wouldn't exist.
So they'd be extinct.
Yes, they would.
Zoos,
they're all the wild animals are already extinct because we have domesticated the wild animals. So they're, you know, those breeds are already.
And why did you pick that image? Because I know people who work in abattoirs. I don't know of any 12-year-old girl or indeed boy who works in an abattoir that takes a lamb, whacks them up onto a breadboard, and I presume gives them a smack or something to stun them because the head is still there, though they look like they're asleep in your ad, and then proceeds to knife them and cut them. I don't know of any 12-year-old girl or boy working in an abattoir. Why did you pick that person to do the dirty?
It was actually an image that an organisation called Vegan FTA had used. We usually do our own advertising.
I know that, but why doesn't... Why did they pick the image?
Well,
of the 12-year-old girl.
Well, we're not saying that she's a 12-year-old girl.
What age is she? Come on, I'm not stupid, Sandra. What age is the child?
She's certainly a young girl.
What age is she, Diane? Tell me, it's me, I'm being stupid. What age do you think that girl is, Diane? Be brutally honest with me. If you think she's 47, tell me.
No, she's a child, and that's exactly my point.
Do you accept, Sandra, that she's a child?
She's a young girl, but the point of the ad...
What age is she?
Is the... Sorry, I'm finding that your tone quite aggressive.
Just asking, I don't mean to be aggressive, I'm just asking
she's
a question.
You're right, she's a young girl.
Yeah, is she 12?
Joe, I don't know what age she is. I didn't design this particular image myself.
But you've seen it.
A young girl. But I presume the reason you're asking me what age she is that you're trying to say she's not the one who slaughtered the lamb. You know, in more rural cultures, people often do slaughter their own animals. But all the animals we use, when you go into a supermarket and you see the lamb chops, the same lamb chops that are in that ad, they are the chopped up pieces of a baby, a young lamb between 3 and 5 months of age. And they're advertised as tender spring lamb. And the reason they're tender is because they were drinking their mother's milk not long before they were slaughtered, or they might have been weaned, an unnaturally forced weaned a few weeks before slaughter so that they would eat more grain to have more flesh. It's violent. I can hear from you that you agree that it's violent. I think Diane agrees it's violent. We're not the ones who are violent by showing the ad. What we all object to is the unnecessary harm that is caused to the lamb in the ad.
Okay, and I've tweeted the ad there during the recess, and it's on at Joe Liveline. You can see the photograph, and which is great for you. You're getting free advertising about this program, which is I know rightly so. That's the debate you're hoping to generate. Sandra, who pays for these ads? They're very expensive. These spaces.
Well, yeah, we're funded by people who share our vision for a vegan world, and our aim, which is to show members of the public the contradiction between the claim that they care about other animals and our actions as non-vegans, which means that we perpetrate unconscionable violence. Stuff of nightmares.
Can you say, I've never seen a donation page for Go Vegan. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. But are you saying it's not funded by any of the soya milk producers? And by the way, soya milk is much more expensive than cow's milk, as you know. To be vegan is a middle class enterprise, because you need more money to go vegan, don't you?
That's not fair to say at all. I mean, you can buy plant milk, you know, at a very low price in some of the large supermarkets. I don't think it's appropriate for me to name the names of them. But actually, by far the most expensive milk at all is animal milk. Because not only is the dairy industry extremely harmful and violent to other animals, it's one of the greatest causes of greenhouse gas emissions, water pollution, soil pollution. It's rendering the world so that not only will we not be able to live on it, we won't be able to grow food. And the farmers themselves are going to suffer, because using animal agriculture is not sustainable. So it is in the interest of farmers to transition. And it's in the interest of your listeners to know that a vegan diet is not expensive. The components of a vegan diet, fruit, vegetables, whole grains, and plant replacements are the cheapest things that you can buy in the supermarket. And the more people go vegan...
Well, look at that another way. Say almond milk, which is expensive, and soya milk. I use soya milk in my porridge. That is expensive. I don't care what you say. I know it's expensive. I buy it.
Well, if you go into Aldi and Lidl I'm
supporting my little corner shop. I'm not going to a German multinational. You mentioned almond milk, and for example avocados. How damaging is the production of almonds and indeed avocados to the environment?
So the recent studies are showing, there was a study in the University of Oxford last year, and it analysed the diets of 55,000 individuals in the UK and Ireland as well, I think. Using the food that comes from 38,000 farms in 119 countries. And it found that a plant-based diet can reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 75% and water pollution and land use by 75%.
Stay with us, Sandra. I want to, Diane, you're leaving all the heavy lifting to me. you're the one who rang in. What do you think of what Sandra is saying?
Well, I think that the focus here is yet again on the sort of focus of why you should be vegan. And I don't have any, I understand and I'm well aware of the many factual reasons why you should support veganism, from ethical reasons, environmental health concerns. But what isn't being addressed at all is the negative perception that this specific advert, it's cruel and it's aggressive and it's inappropriate to be using young girls in that way. And Sandra didn't even want to say that it was a young girl, but it is a young girl. And the girl looks forced. She looks tortured. She looks vulnerable.
She looks gaunt. And, she looks gaunt.
Yeah.
Depressed.
She looks, and all of those things, as if... somebody, and I'm assuming the imagery is supposed to say that somebody is her parent, is forcing her to eat and kill meat. And I know that that's a natural thing, because children are born into culture and a family who do eat meat. But I just think that you're missing the point. And the point is that children need to be educated factually and not educated in an aggressive way, because I mean, my son, I asked him, do you want, once he was upset by it, do you want to stop eating meat? Do you not want to eat meat? And on the contrary, he now has a negative perception of vegans. He looked at that and said, why would they put something like that up there? That is so vulgar.
It's like the character, so, actually. It's coming to me now. The character is like Cinderella.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And I'm trying to help version. Because I don't...
Okay, stay with us, Diane. Yeah. Adam has contacted us from County Meath. Adam, good afternoon. You're listening to Sandra. They trust us, the animals. We butcher them. What's wrong with that? That's the truth, isn't it?
The first thing I'd like to say, Joe, is I'd love to invite Sandra out and come work with us for a couple of weeks. We're sheep farming here at home ourselves, and to be honest with you, maybe I'm making a false claim here. I think 90% of farmers are just sick to the teeth of this nonsense that's going on. We're no better than criminals in the country now, Joe. That's how we feel.
Have you seen this ad with Cinderella killing the lamb?
I haven't seen it myself, Joe, in fairness now. I just heard your description of it, and it's not, look at, that doesn't even bother me so much, look at, that's a small thing.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on for a long time. We're coming out of our lambing season at the minute, Joe, right? We're working over 140 hours a week. And I can tell you here now, come the end of the year, I'll have nothing out of it. Nothing. I could be in debt again the end of the year. Now, air production systems, right?
Yeah.
And fair enough, it is intensive and this, that and the other. That's drove by the consumer demand.
Mm.
I'd love to be out in my fields whistling Dixie with 10 or 15 sheep and not panicking about pushing them on and this, that and the other. It's not set up that way. We're meeting the consumer demand. But my main point is I'd love to invite Sandra out to come out and work with me for a couple of weeks and see if I could change her opinion, because They're completely wrong.
Okay,
completely.
Yeah. Sandra.
I entirely agree with Adam. Yes, the farmers are meeting the consumer demand. My ad is not directed at farmers at all. I know how hard farmers work.
It's Adam's livelihood, Sandra.
Well, but to be honest, well, Joe, first of that all, livelihood is gone. It's this. I'm pulling the pin on it because we just can't survive at it anymore.
But I'm saying, for a lot of people, Sandra, it's their livelihood, it's their living, it's their
job.
Just
as Adam said, sheep farmers are some of the worst paid individuals in the country. And sheep farming is not sustainable. I actually have an appreciation for what you do, Adam, because I run a sanctuary and we have a large number of sheep. And I've often, in the early years before I had people working here, had new rescued lambs myself, and I know what it's like getting up every 4 hours to feed them as if they were a baby.
It's torture. Working. I'll put it to you this way. We were only chatting this morning. I weighed myself on the 20th of February, okay, just before we started lambing, and I put myself on the scales yesterday. I lost 8 kilos of weight in less than a month.
Because you're up half the night and you're running around and you're...
Oh, you're running. We're doing an average job.
Well, Adam, could you try... Okay, if you're not going to rear sheep, as you say, could you grow lentils? Could you grow almonds? Could you grow avocados?
This is my other problem, Joe, right? I'm not going to tell a person what they should or shouldn't be eating, and I have no issue with vegans at all. Fine. That's what you want to do. Fine. Joe... The truth of the matter is, it's no better for the environment. Do you know what I mean? Air building blocks of the world is down in them invertebrates in your clay and your soil. Do you think that the lads growing the veg and the cereals and whatever? I know you have your organic growers, and I take my hat off to them. They're doing it. They're not feeding the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but could you?
Can
you transfer to wheat and barley, and maize and?
I could surely, Joe, but at a huge cost. Like straight away, you're into machinery. Do you know what I mean? Like,
people think
that the vegan thing is lads out hoeing a field by hand and a couple of people out picking vegetables and, happy days. That's not a reality. It's tractors and it's this and it's and there's none of it. It's not, I'm not saying it's any worse, but I certainly don't think it's any better for the environment. I really don't. And especially when you get into the likes of your soya and your avocados, I'd say it'd be horrific if you went over and seen what they were doing in them countries, cutting down rainforests to grow it. Like, it just baffles me. The whole thing is baffling me. It really is.
Somebody said to me, Sandra, I said it looks like Cinderella in the ad. Maybe, is it Mary that Mary had the little lamb?
No, it's not Joe, because we didn't use that, we didn't compose that ad ourselves. For somebody very kindly lent the image. I'd like to address a couple of very important points.
I'll let you do that, Sandra, after this break. I promise, after the break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Sandra, you wanted to come back on a few points there to Adam. Yeah, you think should Adam change to wheat, barley?
It's not even should Adam change. Adam should be paid to change, encouraged to change. There should be government programs to support the likes of Adam.
We're not going to be, Sandra.
Well, there's, you know, for instance, at the moment there's a seafood storage place in Donegal. There was a planning application in for it, and they found that there's no market anymore. So it's now being used to produce oat milk. So there's a shortage of good quality oats for oat milk in the world, and there's a huge demand for oat milk, both from vegans and people who are just on a plant-based diet. And so this is a fantastic
opportunity. What happens to the leftover
farmers?
How many oats have to die for a litre of oat? What happens to
I'll
the
tell you, Joe,
what happens to the leftover oats?
First of all, oats are not sentient beings.
They don't die. Well, as far as we know,
We need a fraction of the land.
Now, what do we do with
people?
The leftover? You know, that was my point. Okay, to make a litre of oat milk, you've got to crush oats. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
What happens with the leftovers?
Some people are currently using them for animal food.
You can't do that.
So I think, Joe, you're probably picking the only negative aspect of oat milk production. Again, this is a strategy that's commonly used by people who feel uncomfortable about the whole idea of the change.
Well, Sandra, hang on, Sandra, now. Hold your horses. I'm not uncomfortable with people. I live in a family. I'm the only one in my family who eats meat. Or fish. I live in a family of vegans. Okay? I live in a family of vegans. So I'm not on money. That question just came into my stupid little head. What happens to the oats after you crush them? What happens? And you say they use them for animal feed. That's feeding the porpoise. You're saying we shouldn't be killing the animals.
That's what I'm saying, that's not an appropriate use of them. I haven't researched it in enough detail to know, Joe, but I'm sure that there is a use for them. I'm sure they'll find something very useful to do with them. The main thing is that oat milk is significantly less damaging to humans and to the environment and to animals than animal milk.
But Ireland hasn't. We as a population, we're living longer and we're drinking an awful lot of milk in Ireland. We always have. Didn't damage us that much, did it?
But it's important that we transition to plant milk and that we no longer exploit the animals and the dairy industry.
Adam.
Is it any better, Sandra? For the environment, I mean. I've heard figures that it takes 10 to 15 times more water to produce a litre of plant-based milk than it does dairy.
No, the opposite. The opposite is true. It's actually 75% less water pollution. I don't have the figure to hand.
The input.
Well, you see, as you know, Adam, yourself, one of the biggest problems, we've had droughts here in Ireland where animals were slaughtered earlier than they would have been because we didn't have enough water to give them. But you, but we're able to keep our...
I agree with that, but...
Sandra, you mentioned the seafood factory in Donegal that's now doing oat milk or whatever. So are you against fishing as well?
Yes, we're against the use of other animals as objects or as resources for humans.
And are you against recreational fishing?
Yes, at the use of
would you ban fishing? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, see,
on the Tolka and the Grand Canal and the Loch Corrib, you ban all that fishing.
Yeah, our aim is to educate people about the fact that other animals are sentient, that they feeling beings.
How do you educate them?
Diane.
This was my original point, that you're not educating, you're being aggressive, and I don't feel that education. It's just. It's not, because you, even on your website, it reads like personal opinion. It doesn't read like, I want facts. I want to know why X, Y, Z.
Well, actually, the website doesn't read like personal opinion. If you read it, Diane, you'll find that every single fact is referenced. Yeah, so there isn't a fact there that's opinion. Every single fact is referenced. So it's and we're renowned for this because we've been taken to task on several occasions and won our case that our ads are not misleading. They're not personal opinion. They're fact. So that assertion is quite incorrect.
Because there aren't young girls standing in rooms butchering.
Correct.
Well, traditionally, Diane, I'm very sorry. I got your name wrong. It's always the woman or the eldest daughter who prepares the dinner in the house. My mother was always
the cook of the place. I know, it's changed. Okay, you know the point that Diane is making. Let's not pick her up on everything. Go ahead.
Could I ask Sandra a question, Joe?
Yeah.
Does she agree with the use of bees coming in to pollinate crops? That's using an animal as an object for human gain.
If biodiversity was restored, bees have always pollinated crops. That's how bees are closely linked to the survival of humans.
Yes.
It's not that we're.
Now,
it's not.
Where was the harm done to the bees? Is from the growing of crops and the use of sprays. It wasn't from a dairy cow or a sheep farmer.
Bees pollination is completely different to what we do to other animals.
There's farmers take the bees in to pollinate crops, tomatoes, stuff like that. I've seen them doing it with oilseed rape, and do you know?
You bring in
so
the bees.
They're bringing the bees in to do a job for them.
So is that wrong, Sandra? It is, isn't it?
Well, that's wrong.
Do you know? Like,
if we restored biodiversity.
This is my point, Sandra. The bees disappeared because the cereal production and vegetable production has to be so intense that people have to use sprays. Now, what I'm trying to say is every farmer in the country would love to go organic in the morning and be whistling Dixie and have real low yields. It's not going to bother him because he's getting paid well. None of this is a reality, and it's not going to happen. So we need to find a happy ground somewhere in the middle to feed people and to make sure that welfare isn't an issue. But the likes of these things that yous are coming up and putting on billboards and stuff, it's sickening for a farmer to see that. And him out there doing his very best that he can.
Okay, say there, Adam. Colette O'Connell, Colette, explain the bees thing to me, Colette.
Joe, I heard your comments that you use almond milk, and I said, "Oh, Joe, no, please."
No, soya milk. I use soya milk.
Oh, soya. I thought you said almond milk.
No, soya. Come on.
Just for your listeners to be aware.
Okay.
Honeybee colonies are used to pollinate the almond crop on the west coast of the U.S., and huge numbers of them are transported right across the USA.
Wow.
And this causes huge stress. They're packed into tight lorries. It causes huge stress and colony loss as a result of that. So fortunately here in Ireland, we don't have that intense need for pollination. Farmers are very happy to have bees.
So are you against almond milk?
I would be, because of what it does to the bees and the honeybees, yes.
Okay, what do you think of that, Sandra? You're in favour of almond milk.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Any product that causes the use and exploitation of another animal is not acceptable.
So you're against, you're against almond milk?
Well, I don't use almond milk, but it's significantly less damaging than dairy milk.
Okay, Dennis.
Can I just address Adam's point there? The vast majority of crops that are grown to feed farmed animals, including as a result of deforestation and the use of pesticides and herbicides. In a vegan world where we're growing plants to feed humans, we'll be using very significantly less amounts of crops. We'll just be growing less. We can feed more humans on a lot less land, and the output is bigger. The output is also significantly bigger from veganic crop production.
Yeah, isn't that true? Like in the second world, I'm thinking specifically of the UK, in the Second World War, when they were, obviously there was rationing, the first thing they got rid of was pigs, then sheep, because of the intensity, the investment return in terms of land.
Yeah.
They kept dairy cows, but they tried to keep them off the grass. They tried to feed them on powdered milk because they needed the fields for barley and for wheat and for maize and for swedes and for sugar beet, because that was the greater return. That did happen.
Compulsory tillage would have been brought in.
Yeah, but doesn't that back up Sandra's point?
It does and it doesn't, Joe. Okay. Look, as I said before, I wouldn't be telling anyone what to eat. Each to their own, fair enough. My point is, I don't think that it's any less damaging to the environment. There's something's going to be losing. We mightn't see it as such, but there is something to be... something's going to be losing out.
Okay,
I would like to extend that invite out to Sandra.
Okay,
Sandra,
do you want to go out and work on the farm for a few weeks?
I have over 40 sheep of my own to look after here, Adam.
Doing, But if you have any free time,
you could come and give us a hand.
Sandra, where do your sheep go at the end of the day, so to speak, metaphorically?
They live out their
I know,
their
but
life.
What happens when they die? How do they die? Just old age?
Old age, things like osteoarthritis.
And how does a sheep...
is that not very wasteful, Sandra? Is that not wasteful to be doing that?
Do you ever think the sheep who were rescued would think that it was wasteful? But Sandra, do you ever have to put...
When she dies, do you know? You're just keeping a sheep. She's eating stuff. According to you, she's polluting the atmosphere as she's eating it, and then nothing becomes of it. It's of no benefit to anybody, Adam.
You're viewing the sheep as if they live on this earth for our well-being. Okay. They're not resources for us. The sheep who died, her life meant something to her, quite apart from
what,
the
Sandra, what
Sandra,
what is the difference between what's the difference between you and a sheep?
There isn't an awful lot of difference. Okay. We share a lot of DNA. Okay. We're different species. Please stay with me.
Joe, I have two breaks. I'll come back to you after the break, I promise. Joe.
At Talk RTE. To Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Dennis Neal is Dennis. Sorry for holding you there. You are you're a spokesperson for Sentient Ireland.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much for having me on. Sentient Rights Ireland.
Okay, off you go.
Okay, so let's look at the world view first of all. At the moment, there is enough of plant protein in the world to feed an extra 4.3 billion. That's on top of the population currently in the world of around 8 billion.
Okay.
In the Amazon, it's been cleared for illegal logging, and this was rampant in the time of Bolsonaro, and then following on from that, you get ranching and monocrop production, GM, and this is to feed farmed animals. Between 30% and 80%, depending on the crop involved, goes to feed farmed animals. Most of the fish caught in the world goes to feed farmed animals. 30% of farmed fish goes to feed farmed animals. they are scooping up everything. So if we could cut that middle person out, that's the farmed animal. We're here for ethical and moral reasons, but on an economic basis, animals, farmed animals, consume more nutrients than they deliver.
Okay. What would the idea? I know all the facts, but what would the ideal world? So what would we do with all the cattle in Ireland?
Well, it would be a transition. So it would be a lowering down from gear to gear.
Sheep the same. They would eventually disappear, apart from Dublin.
No. I mean, as Sandra just told you, she has 40 sheep or 20 sheep. I forget exactly the number.
But they're rescue sheep. They're rescue sheep. She didn't go out and buy the sheep to keep them as pets.
Well, no, not at all. Okay. I mean, there are
we just give the fish to, well, we're giving it to them anyway. We just give the fish to the Spanish, do we?
Don't give the fish to anybody. Leave the
Spanish
fish in
the water. The Spanish are out robbing our fish every night.
Okay, look, Joe.
Have you spoken to an Irish trawler person lately?
You cannot solve this problem with national economics or national socialism. We have to look at the world view. If we look at the Irish view here, we're importing 5 million tons, mostly from Argentina and Brazil, of grain to feed our farmed animals here, and that includes the cows. There's over 300. Feedlots here, so the myth of grass fed is blown out of the water. There was recently a court case
Dennis, you eat Sandra mentioned earlier yogurt and cheese. Do you eat butter and yogurt and cheese?
If there's a vee in front of it, I eat it, Joe. There's a vegan anything available at the moment.
And so would you eat Kerrygold?
No, I wouldn't eat anything with an animal in it. I went vegan in
2017. Where's the animal in the Kerrygold? The cow is still alive, the dairy cow.
Joe, they're not alive. I mean, dairy cows are killed after what they call, on average, 2.5 lactations. That means they will have the impregnated, which is,
So Kerrygold is gone as well. Fishing is gone.
No, there's nothing gone, Joe. We're talking about replacing it with a much better system. Farming.
Yeah, but it is gone, like Dennis. That's like the Charlie Haughey line when he sacked Bobby Molloy back in the '70s, and he was asked, "Why did you sack Bobby Molloy?" He said, "I didn't sack Bobby Molloy. I just created a new cabinet of which Bobby Molloy was not a member." Barry Smith, but Bobby was gone. Barry, though, he did come back. Barry Smith. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're listening to the debate. It's your point, please.
I'm late to the debate, but I just want to make the point. They're all talking about livestock farming in Ireland being unsustainable. That lady said at the start. If you take the majority of livestock farming in Ireland is in the west of Ireland, which is in very poor ground, wet, some of it rocky. We're producing food from land that cannot grow grain, cannot grow anything else. You know, they're talking about feeding people. Ireland's feeding the world, not just themselves. And they're talking about all these products that's going to feedlots. This thing of feedlots in Ireland is very small. The American system, where there's thousands and thousands of cattle on grain, you can't compare Ireland and the rest of the world, because the majority of Irish cattle are grass-fed cattle.
And what do you think, what do you think of Dennis's point, he wouldn't even eat Kerrygold?
Well, sure, look at every man to himself.
And butter wouldn't melt in your mouth, Barry. Stay there. Where's Jason? Jason, come in from are you? Killarney or Kilkenny? Killarney.
Down in Killarney.
You worked in an abattoir.
No, I never worked in an abattoir.
Oh, sorry.
I supplied products into some of the biggest beef plants around the country for 20 years. So I know from when I started in the early noughties to where we are now, I would say 60% of the abattoirs locally have gone out of business.
Okay.
So what that means is that how that correlates is that basically that animals have to be transported further.
Okay.
They're spending more time in lots being sort of maintained in these terror areas, if you like. I mean, I'm not a fan of how animals are treated. I'll make that straight away. But I do believe that it's a necessary evil to a certain degree. I do think that we could ameliorate it by making sort of perambulatory abattoirs where you could potentially go on site, slaughter the animals on site, and bring the animals then to a processing plant. I think then the animal is basically doesn't have that that's panic, that transport issue, and being in a foreign area. Where
and how do you think Sandra's going to react or Dennis is going to react to that line that you've just that you're pushing there, Jason? Well, actually, things because of mass production, things have actually got more cruel.
Well, they have. I mean, that's the point of it. I mean, the driving.
So you support Sandra? Go. You support? They trust us. We butcher them. Go vegan.
They well, what happens is what's driving all this is our demand for fast food. We're not talking about, you know, getting rid of a roast beef on a Sunday dinner for a family or a roast chicken in a midweek. I mean, that's how families live. What's replaced that is fast food. So us eating burgers around the world. That is what's feeding all of this issue with animal husbandry, animal care, animal welfare, veganism, you know, oversupply of one product. All these issues are all driven, I guarantee you this, they're all driven by our demand, which again correlates with the amount of abattoirs which have closed in this country with the demand for fast food. You look up who are the big boys in the country.
Yeah, but fast...
who are they supplying? Who are they supplying meat to?
Yeah, but why is fast food...
We no longer have a local person... We no longer have a local abattoir.
But fast food is you can get it. You can feed.
You can buy in a local victory.
For a treat. You can feed four children once a week and a happy meal or whatever for under £20. That's some going for people who are under pressure.
Absolutely, but you know where the potatoes
and there's protein in it. Isn't there protein in meat that you can't necessarily get it elsewhere?
Is it at what cost, Joe? I mean, honestly, is it at what cost? We are eating way too much. I eat a third of what I ate now. 3 years ago, I went on a fasting regime thing, which I had to for health reasons. And I eat now a third of what I eat, one meal a day, and I feel not. I never felt healthy in my life.
Okay. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And that you agree with Sandra from Go Vegan. Why?
Why? Because I'm an animal lover for one. I did animal welfare courses. I'm a vegetarian myself, and I can't bear to see little animals suffering at all. And I love lambs and sheep.
Have you seen the ads? Have you seen the Go Butcher Me ad or whatever it's called?
I didn't, but I heard what they said about it, yeah.
And you...
I mean, obviously, children are very honest. They like to know the truth. Maybe... I didn't see the blood everywhere, but, I mean, children do like honesty. You know, when you talk to a little child, a little boy or girl, teenager, they know the truth. They know the difference between right and wrong. And so I don't think it would harm them in any way that way. But also, another thing I was going to say to you, that animals have a right to live the same as we do. And to be honest with you, it's a big money racket for breeding sheep. I live down on the west coast of Ireland, and I get really depressed when I see the sheep in the field, and then they're gone by the September, all gone. They're frolicking, the little lambs, in the spring with the sheep.
Okay.
And the next thing, I just get terribly depressed, as most people do, to see they're gone off to be slaughtered.
Okay.
There's no need to eat meat. The Hindus don't eat meat, and they're very healthy. And I know loads of hundreds of vegetarians since I was a teenager in London. They're very healthy people. I don't see why people have to have lamb on the plate every Sunday.
That's the argument that's been made. I hope we've been fair as per usual. We usually get complaints after these programmes that we do on veganism. But hopefully, well, if we do, we do on this occasion. By the way, I mentioned earlier about Simon Harris being Taoiseach, and I was told to calm down. But he's now got 30 nominations from the parliamentary party, which is more than half. As of a few minutes ago, Martin Hayden has endorsed him. Colin Markey has endorsed him. The last few minutes, Paul Keogh has endorsed him. So it looks like it's home and dry. And he will be 11 months younger, when he's appointed Taoiseach in a fortnight or so, when he goes up to Áras an Uachtaráin, he will be 11 months younger than Leo Varadkar was when he was appointed Taoiseach, believe it or not. By the way, I remember Doc Savage has phoned in with a gag for next. He was going to use next Thursday in the Landmark Hotel in Carrick and Shundy for funny, Carrick and Shannon for funny, funny Thursday. I used to go out with a girl who worked in an abattoir. My God, she was some stunner. James Feeney was on sound. Broadcast coordinator was Shane Doc, stay at home. Producer was Sarah Lockwood Grant. And we'll be back tomorrow, Friday. Ray Darcy, next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. Or email joe@rte.ie.